We're going to go through the whole of John's Gospel, but we're going to break it up along the way. So it may take more than a year to cover John's Gospel, but we're systematically going through verse by verse, and we'll cover the whole Bible. So we're going to read, first of all, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. It says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.'" Well, first of all, we need to understand that the theme of John's Gospel can be found in John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. We need to know where we're going in John's Gospel, and we need to be fixing what I say and what the Word of God says with the theme of the Gospel. It says in John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name." Now, John's Gospel deals with the signs that Jesus gave during his earthly ministry, which prove his deity. That means that Jesus was God in human form, walking on this earth at that time. And these signs were seen by dependable witnesses, his disciples, and many other people. And John wants the people who read his gospel and hear his gospel, that's us, to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and to receive new life in his name. That's the whole purpose of John writing that book. That's the whole purpose of us hearing and reading John's Gospel. And it's important that we understand that Jesus Christ wants to be our Lord and Savior, or our Savior and Lord. When we become a Christian, we can't just do what we like. We must submit to God's Word, the Bible. You see, many people get it wrong. Jesus exposes in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, that people can get it wrong concerning the gospel message and belief in Jesus. It says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's quite a solemn thought. We prove that Jesus is Lord of our life by doing his will when we have a personal relationship with him. If we try to obey Jesus and God's word, the Bible, without a personal relationship, then we can become legalistic and it just becomes another religion. There are too many religions in Japan. We mustn't start another one by being a legalistic Christian. We must have a personal relationship with Jesus. And as I teach through John's Gospel, my prayer is that we'll all believe in Jesus more fully, and that our new life in Jesus will become vibrant and overflowing with God's love. If we're not yet a Christian, then John's Gospel is very important. You will discover all you need to know from the whole Bible what it means to follow Jesus. You'll discover the Old Testament teaching that points to your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't think you need Jesus at the moment, you're just discovering what it's all about, then you'll hear from John's Gospel, but you'll hear from the whole Bible. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 7, after his resurrection, Jesus was on the road to Emmaus and he spoke to two strangers. And he told these two strangers all about himself from the whole of the Old Testament. And to understand the gospel teaching of John, we need to understand the whole of the Old Testament. The first three gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they deal primarily with the events in the life of Jesus. But John deals with the spiritual meanings of these events. John goes deeper and presents truths that are not emphasized in the other gospels. Now, John has done a very big favor for Bible teachers. He's given us an introduction to his gospel in the first 18 verses. And these verses introduce us to the major themes of the gospel. And there are direct parallels between this introduction and the rest of the gospel. And John uses words in his introduction that are later explained in the gospel through the life of Jesus. Words like light, life, witness, true, world, glory, and truth. And the rest of the book is an expansion of the introduction. It's a bit like a tourist guide who meets you at the entrance to the most beautiful building in the world. You stand at the entrance with this guide, and the guide explains what you're going to see in this beautiful building. And by having this introductory talk, you'll be able better to appreciate what's inside the building. By having this introduction to John, you can appreciate what's going to happen as we go through the gospel. And we need to have the fullest picture of Jesus Christ that we can get. And I believe it's contained in John's gospel. Therefore, we need, as we continue, to investigate parts of the Old Testament as they come up in the text. If you take the Old Testament references out of John's Gospel, you'll be left not understanding. It's not in the translation, but I have a book that I will introduce to you later that is a book that's called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. And in that book, it identifies all the things in the Old Testament that you need to know about to understand John's Gospel fully. If you're an alien, come from outer space, and you knew nothing about anything, what would you need to know? Anyway, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, John introduces us to lots of major themes, and these themes have a link to the other parts of the gospel, and they form a complete introduction to the gospel. Now, we don't have time this morning to cover all of these themes, but I'll at least mention them. Like the tour guide at the entrance to that beautiful building, today's sermon is like an advertisement of what's going to happen over the next 12 months. The first thing we come across in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, is the preeminence of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now also, there's a reference in John 17 and verse 5. I'll just quote that to you, John 17 and verse 5, it says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." See, it's a reference as we go through. Why did Jesus use the word and not just say Jesus? Now, the reason is that John frequently quotes or alludes from the Old Testament. The Hebrew word that John uses is the Hebrew word dabar. And this word is connected to God's powerful activity in creation. And we find this Hebrew word quoted in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." In Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." And so here we have it from the Old Testament. God speaks and his word creates. Psalm 107, verse 20, "God healed through his word." God's word in the Old Testament is God's expression of creation, revelation, and salvation. Now, this is why John applied the title to Jesus. All that the Word was doing in the Old Testament, Jesus is now doing in the New Testament. And John wanted to connect Jesus with what the Word was doing in the Old Testament, and the most suitable word to use was the Word. Therefore, John wants us to understand that the same Jesus that created the world and operated through the Old Testament, history of Israel, is the same Jesus that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. It's the same Jesus that John knew and loved and believed to be God in human form. Second theme is light and life. Chapter 1, verses 4. "And light rejected by darkness, but not quenched by it." Chapter 1, verse 5. So, John 5 and 26, it says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." And John 8 and verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, it's very clear that in the introduction, John is talking about creation. God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, brings light into the darkness. However, as this is an introduction to the rest of the gospel, it's clear that John is also referring to the light and darkness involved in salvation. In this gospel, we will discover that the darkness is not just the absence of light, but the darkness is positive evil. We know that from John 3:19 that people don't like the light of God because their deeds are evil. Satan does have a kingdom, and the gospel message rescues people out of this darkness. So as people hear the gospel message, they can be rescued out of the darkness into the light of God. So it's important to note that verse 5 tells us that the light can never be put out by the darkness. God's purposes will never be thwarted. God will always achieve what he wants to achieve, no matter how dark the world is. Even in the book of Revelation, if you read the book of Revelation, there's some awful stuff in there about Satan attacking God's purposes. But Jesus wins in the end. So whatever darkness is in this country of Japan, Jesus is going to win in the end. And he will win his purposes. We will discover a lot in John's gospel about light and darkness as it relates to salvation, and about the spiritual battle for the souls of men and women. And we need to be prepared to engage in the battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Are you prepared for that? Well, John's Gospel is going to teach us how to do that. And as we go through John's Gospel, we're going to be challenged to get into the battle for the lost souls of men and women, boys and girls. And they are the souls of the people that you love, the people that you know, and we can reach and we can touch the throne of grace and engage in the battle. Number three, Jesus Christ not received by his own. Verse 11. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. Now, John here is asking us to go back to the Old Testament. He's reminding us of God's covenant people, the Jewish nation. The Old Testament is all about God choosing Abraham and his descendants to be his very special people. The whole of the Old Testament is mainly about God's dealings with his chosen nation. God sent Jesus into the world to die for his chosen nation, the Jewish people. However, only a small part of that Jewish nation received Jesus as God's rescue package. And although verse 11 is not good news, verse 12 is good news. Those who receive Jesus are grafted into God's covenant and become the children of God. It's also important when we read Romans chapter 11 that we understand verse 11. It says, verse 25 of Romans 11. It says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." So we have this wonderful opportunity in the world, while it lasts, that everyone can believe in Jesus. It's not just for the Jewish nation. God has given us this window of opportunity till the second coming. And God is going to wrap it up one day. So we have the gospel to take while we have this opportunity. It says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And we need to understand that Jesus suffered rejection. Therefore, all true Christians will suffer in the same way at different times. And we must pray for one another when we are rejected. We must pray for one another when we're hurt. Pray for one another as we follow Jesus. Because it's not a picnic following Jesus. It's perseverance and prayer. Fourthly, being born of God and not of the flesh. Chapter 1, verses 13. I won't quote the verses, but they parallel down the line. Verses 13 says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, John here introduces us to the theme of the new birth. Being born into the family of God is quite different from being born in a human family. In verse 13, which parallels John chapter 3, verse 6, John chapter 8, and verses 41 to 42, John is clear here to introduce us to the sovereign grace of God. And this is what he says. He says, nobody becomes a Christian because of any cultural background, probably referring to the Jewish nation. So nobody has any privileged background to becoming a Christian. Nobody can become a Christian because of the will of the flesh, sexual union. Nobody can become a Christian through a head decision without first having their heart touched by God's Holy Spirit. The new birth is something that God does. He rebirths us spiritually. God does a sovereign work in people's hearts in answer to their cry. So the New Living Translation puts it like this, and I like it for this reason. It says, they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So John is going to take us through some challenging times, and he's going to show us that we need to be born again. We need to have a new life if we're going to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. That's something that God does. We can't do that. We can cry to him, but God does the rebirth. Fifthly, seeing God's glory. chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There are two glories in the Bible. The awesome glory of God, which we cannot see, which is described in verse 18, and the glory of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. So here in verse 14, John is referring to the glory of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. So in John's gospel, we're going to see the glory of God revealed in and through Jesus Christ as we go through this book. And as we study John's gospel, let us pray that God's glory will be seen in our lives as we yield to his Holy Spirit. If we profess faith in Jesus, then we are instruments in the hands of God. God can use us to reach a hurting community with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, that community must first see the love of Jesus in action in our community. God wants us as a community of believers at OIC to manifest the love of Jesus to one another. He wants to flow through us. Sometimes people meet Christians and they want to see that it works first before they trust Jesus. So we're like an advertisement. If they can see the love of Jesus in us, maybe they'll be attracted to hear the gospel message. Are you hurting at the moment? Do you need to say sorry? Do you need forgiveness? Is there anything stopping God's Holy Spirit flowing through you, giving the love of Jesus to others? If there is, you can get right with God today. You can ask him to forgive you, and he will flow through you. We're going to see God's glory as revealed in John's gospel in Jesus Christ, but we want to see God's glory revealed in us. We want to take John's gospel seriously and say, yes, I want the glory of God to flow through me. We've got nothing to offer except our lives. If we give our life to Jesus Christ, he can flow through us. I can't speak very good Japanese and I can't write very much kanji, but I love Jesus. And people will see the love of Jesus before my Japanese and my kanji. People are looking at us today and they want to see the love of Jesus. That's hurting people. So, number five, seeing God's glory in John's gospel, but seeing God's glory through us. Sixthly, truth in Jesus Christ, verse 17. For as the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. John is introducing us here to the difference between law and grace. Later on, he's going to make sure that we fully understand the difference. John wants to be sure in our own minds, and he wants us to focus on the grace of God. It's a known fact that many Christians who have been wonderfully saved by God's grace often backslide into legalism. I've discovered over many years that if a Christian who may be born again doesn't really understand grace, then he or she will not be able to display grace in their life. They will not behave gracefully towards other people who do not fit into their legalistic box or their theological thinking. We all have things that are precious to us, but we've got to exercise grace to other people who say, well, those things are not important to me, but those things are. Simple explanation between law and grace. The law says we are guilty of breaking at least one of the Ten Commandments, either in deed or in mind. Grace says, although you're guilty, I love you, and I've sent my Son Jesus Christ to take the punishment for all of your sin, past, present, and future. Grace is a gift. It is undeserved. It's unmerited, and only because of Jesus and his death on the cross. Jesus is our substitute sacrifice. He dies in our place, and we'll discover later from the Old Testament the importance of the substitute sacrifice. There was one preacher that used to say the difference between law and grace are two words, do and done. Religion is about what you do. Christianity, it's been done. Just believe in Jesus. Finally, the last point. No one has seen God except the one who has come from God's side. Verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John is well aware of the Old Testament thinking about God. So I want to just look up a few verses in the Old Testament. I think we'll just look up Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And just read a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 6. This is Isaiah called to be a prophet. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, the Old Testament thinking is for sinful man to see God's glory will bring death and judgment. I won't go into all the verses, but we can perhaps look at them later on. However, now because of Jesus, God has made it possible for him to be revealed through the person of Jesus. So we can see God now through Jesus, through John's gospel. How awesome. You can meet Jesus through John's gospel. You can see Jesus in the life that John writes of him. But the challenge is, can people see Jesus through us? So what is the application for us at OIC here in Japan? We must consider this introduction, how it applies to our lives today. Well, number one, we may carry a mental image of Jesus that doesn't actually reflect the real Jesus taught to us in John's gospel. We may just have to be willing to realign our thinking on Jesus. Are we willing for real realignment? Alignment is quite a specific word. I don't know how it translates in Japanese, but it's getting it exactly right. I unlocked some of these doors, but if I didn't have the right key, if there was just a little bit missing, I couldn't open the door. So I don't want you at OIC and me to be missing out on the real Jesus. So it may involve changes in our mind and in our behavior. Will we commit ourselves today to be willing to be realigned to the real Jesus? We should secondly consider today how awesome Jesus is, and to be shocked that mainly Jesus is rejected by the world, especially in Japan. That should shock us. After all that Jesus has done, the people are still rejecting him. Thirdly, if we are a Christian today, we should be humbled by the knowledge that it was God's work that brought us to trust and believe in Jesus. God did that work for us. Hallelujah. Our obedience to God's word shows how grateful we are of it and our understanding of grace. Fourthly and finally, we must be confident that what we're about to discover in John's gospel is reliable information. There are no lies in the Bible. We must be hungry to know Jesus more and obey him, whatever the cost for us personally. I hope that this year that someone here will be touched of God and sent around the world somewhere. Maybe in England. Maybe God will call someone here and send them to England, because England needs the gospel. As we open up to God and we say, God, I'm willing to serve you here in OIC, but I'm also willing to go anywhere in the world and serve you. I'm willing to open up the church and clean the toilets. I'm willing to do the humble things. Whatever it is, whatever God has for you, then I trust that John's gospel will open up and you will follow the Jesus of John's gospel, the real Jesus in the Bible. It's my prayer that God will bless us all by his Holy Spirit and move us on in himself. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that this advertisement for John's gospel, this first 18 verses, is standing at the very beginning of my ministry here at OIC. We're standing at the very beginning of a gospel that's going to open us up to the real Jesus. And we pray that you will help us to realign our thinking and our lives to the real Jesus. It may be that we pick and choose some of the things that we want to do in the Christian life, but Lord, we pray that we will choose to follow Jesus. And we know that Jesus is gentle. He deals with us individually, but he always moves us on. There's always room for growth. And the proof of a plant is the fruit. And so, Lord, we pray that we will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit displayed in our lives, just as we have on this cloth hanging over the pulpit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. All these things, Lord, are the natural result of the new birth. All these things are a natural result of our obedience and our trusting God to flow through us. So help us, I pray, at the beginning of John's gospel, to be excited about what Jesus is going to do in our lives. In his name's sake, we ask it. Amen.